Saturday morning, Edward King of Alliance Career Training Solutions joining us right now on Power Talk Radio, 1460 and 101 FM. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark.
So we have a great topic today to kind of carry on and continue on what we had started the previous Saturday, talking about the difference between those successful teams and all the rest. And one of the things that the successful teams do on a consistent basis and do well that less successful operators and teams don't do.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. But first, I want to remind our listeners to what we covered last year, which was towards the end of the year, we stress the value of sitting in digesting your financial results of 2000, the year coming to an end, and planning for the new year. I've just spent the last 3 weeks arduously digging through all of our financial information. And it's not just accounting records, it's the whole thing to find out what I've done right and what I've done wrong. And you know, you have to really reflect and look honestly on yourself. So I encourage our businesses out there to not miss out on the chance of doing that. But part of that learning is, you know, we were looking last Saturday, and we're going to talk about it next Saturday as well, is why are some football teams, and we were talking college football, like the Alabamas of the world or UT, Oklahoma, some of the other ones, why are they so successful year after year after year? And they maintain not only just a standard, but they improve upon that standard on an ongoing basis. You have some teams who like are great at producing quarterbacks, like University of Hawaii. They've put out some good quarterbacks here and there, and they get some success, but it's always driven around one individual. But if you look at Alabama or Georgia, you can pick any of your favorite teams. They've got a really well-rounded offensive line, defensive line, the backs, the running backs, and so on and so forth. And so what I want our businesses to do here is I want them to start looking at it from a perspective of how can I create a great team? So there are a number of things, and I'm just going to hit the highlighted words right now, and then we'll go back and investigate them.
Okay.
So first off, you have to have intentionality. You really have to intend this. This doesn't just accidentally happen. Second, it's got to become a part of corporate culture, and it's a culture of success because every company, every corporation has a culture. It's not necessarily a healthy or a good culture. Thirdly, you really have to put an environment together, you know, which is not just their desks, but their offices and just, you know, how the environment plays. You know, if you've got a grubby, dirty, messy environment, your employees will just not do their best.
Right.
Another major area, and this is where Alliance comes into partnership with you, is constant training. You know, you see these people, these college teams go out and recruit the top recruits, but do they stop there? No, they train them, they week in, week out, spring training and so forth. You can never stop training. And I really want to emphasize that, not just because, you know, we're in the training business, but I've also in the coaching business, and I've been doing business consulting for many years, and I've never seen a company succeed with undertrained employees. So moving on, you have to recognize that you, the managers, are coaches. And being that, you have to coach with a purpose. Another aspect of coaching is you have to coach to the position. So it's just not a matter of, oh, we have an offensive line. No, what we've got is we've got guards, we've got centers, we've got tackles. And each one of those positions has a very important role to play in the success of defending your quarterback and your backs and giving them holes. So you have to coach for the job. Coach your receptionist, coach your financial people, so on and so forth. The other thing is, when you're doing all of these things right, you're going to be building a history of success. And that history is something that is in the past, but you have to focus on making it part of your future. Because in a year from now, 2019 is going to be a history. So you really want to put that in control. The other thing is, you need to believe in it, and your employees need to believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to believe in it so much that it just like comes out of your pores. Now, how does all of this work? Well, it's through the form of communication. The communication is a must ongoing. It's practical, it's realistic, but it's also fanciful. You've got to be a rah-rah communicator as well. Always work with honesty, integrity. You must represent moral fiber and the truth. Otherwise, people are going to not be on board with you. There has to be a commitment on everybody's part, every team member. You know, I told you last week how we had three openings. Well, we had to get rid of two people, which made it we had five openings, but we really needed to get rid of deadwood, people that were not, you know, part of the philosophy that we had. And that was sad, but it was reality. Another area is trust. You have to trust your staff. staff. And you're going to say, well, why? Because they're going to feel it. And if they feel that you trust them, they're going to step up to the plate. And you can't fake that, unfortunately. So great football teams and great companies, they're key. Their first step key is recruitment. And you've got to bring in diversity. I'm sorry. It's not a matter of diversity I'm talking about in terms of flavors or colors. What I'm talking about is skill sets, diversity of skill sets. We'll get back to that next week. Those are those complementing strengths that I want to talk about. The other thing about from a business perspective is even though in the past years your marketing campaign has worked or very other forms of your business has worked, problems are in today's modern world, things change. So you really have to have adaptability in your corporation and be flexible and change with the changing conditions. Here's another key tool is when you're developing this great team, you have to allow for creative freedom. People have the desire to input and to create. And if you're going to like suffocate them and not give them the opportunity to expand the attitudes, the knowledge, and the information, and even the products that you provide, you're going to lose out. And the last part about all of this is if you took all of these things and actually put them into play, you have to promote your business as being a successful part of the world and that people are going to see your company just like they see Alabama winners. So make it part of your marketing strategy. So what do you think, Mark?
I have a few thoughts on some of the things starting at the top with the corporate culture, the culture of success. Mm-hmm. That is something that the customers, your vendors, they can see it, feel it, and smell it when they walk into your business.
Yeah.
And let me give you a perfect example. Now, there are a lot of people out there, for a variety of reasons, they don't like Walmart. Mm-hmm. But there is a corporate culture of success there that cannot be denied.
Yeah.
All right?
That's true.
Now, let's contrast that to one of their chief competitors, and perhaps not really a competitor anymore because they've lapped these people so many times, they've left them so far behind in the dust, they're in bankruptcy and they'll probably end up going away, and that is Sears and Kmart.
Yeah.
What is the corporate culture that you can smell, feel, and taste when you walk into the Sears store or the Kmart store?
Failure.
Yeah. It's dingy, especially the Kmart stores. Dingy, dark, dirty, just this, an air of despair hangs in the place.
Right.
And the problem is you don't want to be there.
No.
They need customers badly.
Yeah.
But people go in there and it is just such an off-putting experience that they head out, they don't come back.
Yeah.
And this just exacerbates the problem. Both of those businesses will probably end up in Chapter 9 liquidation at some point, I would think.
They'll be gone. I know. Yeah. I've had two experiences just following up on what you said. We were in southern Illinois crossing into Amish country, and I don't know, because of our long travels, we were running out of some basics, so like socks. So we stopped in the only store in this tiny little bodunk town. It was a Kmart. I haven't been in a Kmart in there 30 years, probably. And I walked in there, and it's exactly what you said. There was hardly any employees. There was product or, you know, their merchandise was laying on the ground where people had dropped it. And, you know, they really rarely had a whole string of sizes from if it was shoes or whatever it was, they hardly had anything. And it was real sad because I remember, you know, the blue light special of 20 years ago and Kmart and Sears, 100 years of Sears. As a kid, I couldn't wait to get their Christmas catalog.
Yeah, now you just, it's kind of the waiting game. When are they going to throw in the towel?
That's all we're watching for.
Coaching with a purpose. Know the job, teach the job, do this for everyone, cycle it back and back. Coaching every aspect of the positions. Going back to football, I'm reminded of a coach named George Allen. You might remember him.
Yeah.
And George Allen's last football coaching job, he took on a Herculean task, and that was to try and revive a moribund college football program at Long Beach State.
Mm.
And he worked, I believe, one season, and sadly, at the end of the year, he caught pneumonia and passed away a couple months later.
Wow.
But I remember going to a game between Long Beach State and San Jose State, and watching George Allen coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so much from the old school where he coached every play. And you could see him as he was explaining the game of football to these kids. And this is a guy who'd been a Super Bowl coach, right? Washington Redskins, the LA Rams. I mean, he had a level of experience and knowledge of the game that you would normally not have someone of that caliber at a place like Long Beach State.
Mm-hmm.
And what a benefit it was for these kids. And so you saw that. You saw his commitment and and how he really wanted to impart what he knew to those young men. And he didn't have the talent. His team was not very good, but they played smart. They didn't beat themselves with mental mistakes. That's usually when you watch an undermanned or undersized team or business, the one thing you want to look for is, okay, maybe they don't have the physical talent of the team they're playing, so they're not going to win. But do they play smart? Do they make a minimum of penalties? Because the poorly coached teams are the ones that make mistake after mistake after mistake. If the cornerback gets beat because he's just physically not as fast as the guy that they're throwing the ball to, there's not a heck of a lot you can do know about that, you know? So I thought that was interesting. The other thing here, when you talk about believing in it and it comes out of your pores, and then also these communicating these eternal truths of honesty, integrity, moral fiber, and truth, I'm reminded of Vince Lombardi. There's a great book by David Moranis, and it's called When Pride Still Mattered, and it's about Lombardi and his life, a biography. And there is so much in there that one can take, even if you don't like football. Read the book to learn about leadership and communicating with people and the idea of pride in what you do, because he really understood how to motivate people. He understood how to train people. And Edward, what is really interesting, when you go back and you look at those Packer teams of the mid-1960s that were winning championships, all those fellas, 2-1, they all loved Coach Lombardi.
Yeah.
He was a tough SOB when they played for him, but years later they said, you know what? I'd run through a wall for that man.
Right, exactly.
The other thing was, look at how many of the guys that played for Vince Lombardi went on to become successful business people because of the lessons that he drummed into them day after day after day. Guys like Willie Davis and a number of the others, they went off and they became extremely successful in their second careers.
Well, you look at the John Woodens of the world, and they've had the same major impact. Now, every business owner is a coach. And really, what is your legacy that you're creating? What is the corporate culture that you're creating? Coach, do it with your heart on your sleeve. Get in there and do it. One of the things that I learned early on, and I was working, well, I don't remember if it was at IBM or at McCormick in Baltimore, is one of the facets that I tried and learned worked was I got to know everybody, including the janitor's first name or the security guards, as well as all the way to the top. And that personality connects with people. So you really, you want to reach out there, get to know your employees, connect with them.
Edward, we've done enough for 2 programs here. And I'm just thinking that what you have had to say, and this list is so good that we should run this again next Saturday.
Okay.
So for those of you folks, if you just tuned in a few minutes ago and you caught the last few minutes of our conversation, we're going to repeat this next Saturday. So you can hear it in its entirety. Just make sure that you tune in at 10 o'clock so that you'll catch, that you won't miss this segment. Because for those of you in business or you're interested in learning about some of the concepts of motivating people, Edward's really got some great thoughts about that. And he does business coaching as well. One of the things we didn't mention was that besides the training that goes on at Alliance Career Training Solutions, Edward also offers business coaching for management level folks.
And we actually have a seminar coming up in February that we're going to be covering these areas about management skills.
All right. Edward King has been our guest, Alliance Career Training Solutions, online, alliancetrains.com, and the telephone number
755-8200. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 4.